The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, in today for Tom Fairbanks on our Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. It is March 30th. This, of course, is Good Friday. It is the beginning of Passover tonight. And in the city of Tucson, it's a holiday. This is the day honoring the late farm worker leader Cesar Chavez. So all of that happening today on this March 30th. We are airing from KVOI AM 1030, and the program re-airs Saturday morning. We do re-air our Friday edition Saturday morning at 7, Media Day. We shout out to TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you to Dylan Smith for your support, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Tucson Media Group, that's the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Also an other media partner, the Three Sonorans blog site. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, Democrat from Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. How are you today, Congressman?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
And with me in studio to talk with the Congressman is Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are things going?
Just getting by.
And you did say, as we heard that original theme music, that you liked the tune, and that is original. That was done by a young man from Germany, and that's original music for
really,
the show.
Really, highly danceable, yeah. Also good for putting you to sleep.
Yeah.
That's two poles.
No. Yeah, yeah. Congressman, did you ever meet Cesar Chavez?
Yeah, a couple of times as a young man. I think I was a freshman at the university and worked really hard on the great boycott during that period of time. And had an opportunity in Eloy when he was there was attempts to organize the farm workers in Arizona to be there at a gathering and to have a chance to meet him, which was great. And then when I was working at the U of A, we brought him in as a speaker, and I had the rare privilege of introducing him. And those were two important occasions, and I think the honor the city has and Pima County has for him on as a day is very important. I think the emphasis being community service and doing things is that benefit the community is should be the mission, and I hope people take it seriously.
Is there a new activism among young people in this country right now?
Yeah, I think we're in somewhat of a cultural tipping point in terms of young people, the Parkland shootings being, you know, the most obvious impetus to that. But, you know, if one goes back at least 3 years and probably more, although the resolution, unfortunately and disappointingly, has not been done regarding DACA, what the young people did about that issue, profiling it, putting a human face on it, organizing around it, and making it a significant domestic issue for the United States and, i.e., Congress, and, quite frankly, turning public opinion completely around in terms of the need to protect and dreamers and to keep them in this country, I think that was yeoman's work. But you see it more and more. And I think that when I say it's a tipping point, that we had a round table with some young folks, high school kids, and I think it wasn't about, we'll wait and see what happens. It's this is our moment, and we're going to take advantage of it, and we're doing voter registration. We're going to hold people accountable and pressing the point. And I think what it does when you see that, and I think you have to visually see that, is that it's young people. It's that generation that is going to inherit whatever good things or messes we leave behind, and the fact that they're involved, and the fact that they are becoming more and more active in the process, I think only speaks to benefits for the rest of us. And so it's a good thing. And I think it's serious. And to those that underestimate it or minimize it, it's to their own risk.
Here's Tim.
So when you say that, I mean, yes, there's an upsurge of activism right now. Do you see it as... I wonder how connected it is just to the existence of the Trump presidency and the issues that raises.
Well, yeah, there's no question that there's a connection there. I mean, but I think there's a level of independence, too, because the accountability extends to non-Trump affiliated elected officials like myself. But what are you going to do about these issues? What's your position on them? What have you done in the past about them? And I think that that's a big difference. But, you know, the Trump is no doubt in many aspects in terms of activism and a lot of issues across this country has been a mobilizer for those issues. That's not you can't deny that. And one, you know, it begs the question, is there lasting power beyond Trump to these issues? Given the age, given the fact that there has to be some wins and some successes, I think that could that provides the lasting power. But Trump stirring it and actually causing some fear among people as to where we were going, no doubt has been a motivator.
So you say that is really the galvanizing thing, that Trump. That's what's galvanized.
Yeah, and I think that the danger that activists and their Democratic Party can make is to make Trump the singular political issue.
And if that's the case, Democrats won't win. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think you.
If it's just about Trump,
you could probably you'll do well.
Yeah,
we'll do well, but I think it's taking that extra step that I hope Democrats realize they have to do about what we're going to present boldly as an agenda, both economically and socially. What are we going to do about not about empowering what is going on out in the community? Those are going to be the key questions, because if we go back to playing it safe, same old thing. Then I think we become them, and then whatever retribution is coming in November will also come to the Democrats later on.
So speaking of generations, Representative Grijalva, correct me if I'm wrong. You just turned 70, is that
yeah.
right? Yeah. Okay. So what are your thoughts on continuing to run? Are you going to go just as long as you want, or do you have a succession plan? Or
what? I don't have a succession plan. You know, it would be the most crowded primary in the world once I leave. But it was. But I do. I feel there's some level of work I'd like to do. I'd like to be in the majority for a while.
So you're planning to run this time for sure?
Oh, yeah. That's
And you think there? How good a chance do you think there is that you might be in the majority come next January?
For Democrats, it's ours to lose, honestly, and that's why I said earlier about the boldness and how we approach this, and that we have an agenda separate from the fact, or not separate, but in conjunction with the fact that we're pointing out. What this Trump administration is doing and undoing, what we're pointing out in terms of his enablers in the House and in the Senate that are the majority, the Republican Party, and particularly Ryan and McConnell, that have, you know, why don't they say anything? Well, they don't say anything simply because Trump is carrying out administratively and signing the legislation that they pass, and so they're getting their agenda done. And so I think they'll tolerate the behavior, the disconnection. They'll tolerate the lack of capacity in the presidential office. They'll tolerate that as long as that agenda is getting done. And I think, you know, for us to focus only on Trump and ignore the fact that this has been a partnership would be a bad mistake on our part. And so it's ours to lose, but I think we have to take it a step further than just bashing on Trump.
CD2, do you believe the Democrats have a good shot here in the congressional district?
I think, I mean, it's one of those swing districts that is in flux. It is a district that is winnable for Democrats. Same caution, running with minimal risk as a Democrat, I don't think is going to get you a victory in CD2. I hope that whoever the winner of that primary is understands that. I mean, you're going to be you'll be confronting a lot of money because that's a seat, McSally's seat that they want to retain, and you're going to be confronting a lot of attacks. So whoever is there has to know that it is going to be a prize seat nationwide, part of a majority. Making a majority, and so there'll be a lot of concentration in that seat by both parties and by interest groups on both sides.
All right, we're going to take our break right here after I tell our listeners about our newest partner to the show. Congressman, have you been up to Mona's Danish Bakery up on the northwest corner of Swan and Sunrise?
No, I have not.
Oh, my goodness, you are missing out. Do you like baked goods?
Yeah, I should probably be more resistant to baked goods, but I do love them.
So do I. Steve and Sherry, the owners up there, do the European baked goods. Like, oh my goodness, they're so good. And they're open right now for lunch. So having your sandwich with that freshly baked bread and then my favorite, the brownies for dessert, can't beat it. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, Swan and Sunrise. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Also, our monthly visit with the retired United States Army Chief of Staff, General John Wickham. Buckmaster airing during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Congressman Raul Grijalva. Tim Steller is here, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. What's going on with the Veterans Administration right now, Congressman?
It's a very, very...
A lot of people here in Tucson, of course, veterans, and are very concerned.
And the concern is justified. You know, the former secretary is fired, and he was a really important point of resistance to the full privatization of the VA health system, 9 million, and a really good point of resistance. You normally don't have the national organizations, from disabled veterans to VFW to AMVETS to Vietnam Vets of America, all agreeing that that they're against the full-blown privatization of their system, which is the second largest in the country. And what happens is now we don't know what this guy's like. He hasn't had this kind of a management issue, the one that's been recommended.
President Trump's personal physician.
Yeah, the one that said that God had blessed him with great health. I worry that now the privatizers, the ones, are going to start looking at this health system as a candy store. And how do you start taking sections of it out? We have a referral private thing, choice, because of the waiting periods that occurred. But still, the accountability for these veterans is within the VA, even if they are referred out to a private physician because the VA can't see them fast enough, or because they don't have the expertise medically to do it. But a full-blown, divided up, among insurance companies, among providers, I think there is no way that down the road the taxpayer is going to be paying much, much more money for what you lose there by farming it out is the ability the VA has to buy their prescriptions, drugs in bulk, and get 20 to 30% reduction from what the rest of us pay.
Could that happen with just, I mean, wouldn't Congress have to approve that? I don't understand.
At some point, I think that's the whole question that's going on the Veterans Committee, is what's the role of Congress? I think it's an appropriator's role. I think it's a money role. And using those purse strings effectively to try to block any effort to privatize. I think it's going to be a pretty significant clash down the road.
Tim Steller.
Congressman, last I wrote about you in December was kind of departing from that whole Washington Times piece that reported the settlement with the Natural Resources Committee that you're leading, what's it called, ranking member of. So at that time, you all said you'd talk about it more once you could get the non-disclosure lifted, but that's never happened, I take it.
No, it hasn't.
So in other words, you requested that this woman who received a settlement...
Yeah, we asked through the House attorney who gave us advice through this whole thing, approached her attorney and said, look, we feel that because we're dealing with supposition and conclusions based on what people, the bits and pieces that are being released, and not on the entire file of the settlement, how we got there, the various communications that went back and forth, and we would like that to happen. And I can't do it unilaterally without exposing myself to penalties, financial and otherwise, because I broke a non-disclosure agreement. But if we jointly agreed to do it, we could do it. Let's just do it. No. The response that they were not going to do it, and that they would consider to any action on our part would be deemed as a violation of that, and we would seek sanctions, whatever that is. And so, but, you know, I think these kinds of things, there's inevitability to them. I think inevitably more and more information will come out. I hope we had urged ethics to look at it themselves, having said all that, we continue to take the position that, you know, that as soon as things are open and out, that we're in a much better position to be able to talk fully about it. But more importantly, people can make their own conclusions based on what they're reading and what the content of that decision was, and there's a file attached to it. And I think everything that's in there, including testimonial, depositions that might or might not have been taken, then they become public and then everybody's on the record. And I think that's the problem, that, you know, if everybody's on the record, then I think the whole scope of this discussion changes immediately.
Hmm. In other words, you think it would be exculpatory, or it would make people think it's less of a big deal than has been brought up already?
It would work to my benefit.
It would work to your benefit, yeah. The one thing that I did come up with when I wrote about that was, that led me to digging into your voting record, which showed a relatively large number of missed votes at the time. I'm just reading my old story here. In that quarter, it was about 10% of the votes. That was the last quarter last year. And so, and that overall, you have a higher rate of missing votes than other local members of Congress. What explains that?
Coming in on a Tuesday rather than a Monday, staying an extra day in Tucson. Monday votes is roll call. They're usually unanimous consent votes, which means there's no real opposition to them. I miss votes that are, they're substantive because you're naming a post office after somebody that's important to somebody in the country. So those are the consequential votes. No, but votes that I feel like I should stay here Monday for an activity, I do. And if a connection goes wrong, I miss a vote. But it's usually, if you look at them, they're Mondays or they're really really early, on days in which those votes are what I call roll call votes, so they can take a head count as to who's there. Second of all, I have a not only a habit but a practice of not voting for the journal, which happens every week at least twice. That is the business accomplished by the House on that given 3 days or 1 week. I never vote on that, hardly at all. And the reason I don't is because it's my own personal way of communicating, at least to myself, that we really have not done anything of significance, and why validate that? So, I mean, I think that there, if there's consequential votes that I've missed, I have a good reason, sick or otherwise. But, and there's one vote that I missed because I was talking to somebody from the press that kept me too long. And I blame the press for that.
And I do want to follow up about, do you think in this upcoming election that the Republicans will bring up behavior in the race?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, there's not too many things.
What they are going to say about you.
What they're going to, I mean, I think the venom is going to escalate as we get closer to the midterms. So much is at stake. You know, if Democrats were to take the majority of the House and the Senate, then you have a check and balance on this president, and we know that. You have subpoena power as a majority. You have an ability to control the purse strings as a majority. And then we become equal co-branches of government. Then Congress can start doing its oversight, and which we have not done. And so, yeah, there's a lot at stake. And so retention for the majority party of this is really important. And so I think the venom will rise, the anxiety will rise, and the desperation will rise. And that all produces, when you can't beat a person on issues, you go after something else. And I anticipate that, and that'll be that'll be one of the ones that we deal with. We'll probably deal with other votes around immigration. We'll probably have to deal with issues dealing to how American you are and how not you are. We're going to go back to the basic culture questions that that have plagued the dialogue in this country for too long, but we're prepared for it. I having been through this more than once, you can anticipate, and I'm always anxious to run against candidates who speak about themselves in the third person. I think that's always interesting.
So you got the opponents I see so far. The one that's best better known is Sergio Arellano, the Republican, and you don't have any primary opponents,
no.
Obviously. And the other one whose name is at least listed is Edna San Miguel. I think she may have run before.
Had a signature issue, I believe.
Yeah, right? That's what it was. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the kind of race you're expecting with Sergio? The race you just described?
I don't know that much about the gentleman, but I guess we'll find out as we go forward. I think I know that he's a errant Trump supporter. I know that he's an operative in the Republican Party. I know that I know that he's affiliated with the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I know that he part-times with Christie. That's but stuff that's been in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I know.
Okay.
So I don't know about. But this is going to be a race where, if we have our way, issues is going to dominate it. So he's going to have to deal with, consequential issues that are not just about personality attacks, and more importantly, his defense of Trump. If it's going to be full-throated and sincere, that's going to be his campaign. So we'll see how that goes.
All right. We're out of time. Congressman Grijalva, I hope you and yours have a lovely Easter weekend. Thank you very much for coming in. Thank you very much. Tim Steller sticks around. Jim Nintzel joins us from the Tucson Weekly. Lots to talk with Tim and Jim about after we take our mid-show break. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The Friday Focus interview now over. We had Congressman Raul Grijalva with us in studio. Tim Steller remains with us in studio. Mr. Steller, columnist for the state's Southern Arizona's largest newspaper, the Arizona Daily Star, with us on the live line. Jim Nintzel, who is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, part of the Tucson Media Group family of papers. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. I hope all's good down at the studio.
Oh, things going very well.
Very and, comfortable.
Hopefully we'll get Jim here into the studio one of these days, but right now he is overseeing how many, eight publications or something?
A half dozen.
Whoa. I asked Congressman Grijalva if he sees a new activism in this country, kind of hearkening back to when I was a young person a million years ago in the 60s. And the congressman definitely feels there is this new activism. Would you agree with that, Jim?
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're seeing a whole lot. I mean, just last weekend with the March for Our Lives, both in D.C., here locally, elsewhere across the country, you're seeing that movement happening there. You know, we've seen this Indivisible group here in Southern Arizona and also across the country doing a lot. I'm actually a little amazed at the level of activity we're seeing there with that organization and the other one, McSally Take a Stand, or they may have changed their name. I apologize for not having it at the top of my
tip of
my tongue. But without a doubt, I think you're seeing a whole lot more folks out there protesting in the streets and reacting to what's happening in Washington.
Tim, do you kind of question the depth of this?
Yeah, I guess I'd say, I mean, as I said with Representative Grijalva, and I see that certainly there are protests and stuff. It feels to me like it's in almost total measure a response to the Trump administration and to Trump as a person. And I could see it dissipating quickly if he is no longer president, or you know, if issues such as DACA are resolved. I mean, that's one of the key nodes of activism right now, and it could be resolved. There's a lot of negotiating happening right now, but that could take some of the steam out of it.
What about teacher activism that we're seeing right now across the country? West Virginia, Oklahoma. I read today about Kentucky. Now Arizona teachers saying they are demanding 20%. Jim Nintzel, what do you think?
Well, again, that's another front where you're seeing, you know, people organizing in a way that I certainly have not seen them doing in a long time. And it certainly, I believe, a lot of it's in reaction to the Trump administration. But I guess I don't share Tim's optimism that a DACA resolution is around the corner. I mean, that's something that may have been around the corner at one point when Trump said, okay, if you give me some money for a wall, I will go ahead and support the idea of some kind of legalization for the Dreamers. But then he ended up kind of stepping on his own foot on that one and adding more demands, and the whole thing fell apart, and there was nowhere there was no resolution. So I just don't see a lot of competence at this point in the Trump administration in terms of making a deal and sticking by a deal. Mm-hmm. So I just don't see a DACA resolution coming, only because so many Republicans are so dead set against any kind of legal pathway for even the Dreamers who are in this country.
So it's going away from them. This teacher thing is, yes, massive. It's a really huge movement, and I view it as not really related to Trump at all. It's all about this ideology of budget cutting and undermining of traditional district schools that is truly it's a template that's been applied, taken from ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and applied to states like Arizona, Oklahoma, et cetera. You know, I wrote about that this week, that it's been a completely untenable approach to running a state, because it's meant cutting taxes constantly and then, you know, scrambling to find some gimmick to pay teachers or fund schools. And this has just reached the breaking point, not just in Arizona, but in states across the country. This attempt to, on the one hand, cut taxes constantly, mostly for corporations and benefiting wealthier people, and on the other hand, scramble around digging for change in the state's sofa cushions to put into schools. Now, how far the teachers should push it in Arizona, man, it's a tough. We have no idea how this is going to play out. One thing I know for sure is that the Ducey administration and others in the state power structure, especially the Republican power structure, they are ready. They, on the one hand, they are on the back foot because the teachers are really aggressive. On the other hand, I guarantee you they have plans. If the teachers go out on strike, mm-hmm. I could imagine a massive PR campaign against them. It could benefit them, or it could be almost like a fatal blow to district teachers and district schools.
And which could trickle down to at least two of the three gubernatorial candidates on the Democratic side, Jim, Steve Farley and Dr. Garcia, who have built their campaigns around education.
Right. And then you saw actually in the last couple of weeks at the Capitol that rather astonishing effort to push through an extension of the Prop 301, the sales tax for education, without taking it back to the ballot. That certainly caught me by surprise to see Republicans voting for a tax increase or technically a tax increase, really just keeping a tax at the level that it's at. I was amazed that they came together as quickly as they did, but it also removes that as a campaign issue. They do have to worry about the voucher referendum that's going to be on the ballot in November. That's going to be another one that's going to really split the education community from the Republicans, and we'll see where the voters end up landing on that, whether they go ahead and say, yeah, it's a good idea to be sending public dollars to private schools, or whether they say, no, we want to make sure we keep public education dollars within the public education mm-hmm. sphere. So a lot to question as the election rolls forward.
Yeah, a thing that I keep thinking about is that there will be massive pushback on the part of, let's say, Koch Brothers associated groups who have been pushing this template, this agenda for education. And, you know, the laws permit all kinds of, it's a wide open system as far as political spending. So I can imagine there being a massive campaign in favor of the voucher thing and also opposing the teachers and their demands that could sway some people. And I think the important thing about that is that my feeling is that it is public sentiment that will determine the success or failure of the teachers, as well as the success or failure of something like this voucher repeal vote. I think the public's expressed feeling about that will force the government to go one way or the other.
Jim and Tim, the state could be facing a crisis if the federal government continues to back what a federal judge has said concerning the Prop 123. Do I have the props right here?
Yeah, 123 is the one that just was ruled illegal. Yeah.
Yes. So where does that go? To a appeals court or something, or what?
It'll head off to the Court of Appeals next. The Ducey administration did manage to slip some language into the some legislation recently that approves it at least going forward. The question is going to be whether the previous payments, which is hundreds of millions of dollars, are legitimate or not. But I think probably they're on safe legal ground because they did get some congressional approval. This has to do with the raid on the trust fund.
State land trust, yeah.
Education, which is supposed to, the principal is supposed to remain untouched, and they're supposed to be able to use the interest off of those payments, and they're digging into the principal in order to resolve that lawsuit that education was underfunded for many years. It was a very interesting twist, and it really did, again, you had some educators in favor of it and others not, and that was really a fascinating political battle, and now we'll see what happens on the legal side. But I think they're in safe ground going forward. It's the payments in the past that are a concern.
I would just add that, the federal judge who ruled against the proposition, it was new, the fact that they had slipped this language into that bill that passed through Congress. He was aware of it, and he has asked for additional briefing on that. So you're probably right. It probably does save the proposition, at least in a going forward sense. But the legal process still has to work through.
And just from a timing point of view, the school year, most of the schools get out in May here in Arizona. So if there's going to be some kind of a walkout, you would think it might be carry over to the fall. Or no.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Okay, where's the greatest impact? There's no legislative session in the fall, right?
That's true.
And there is a lot of national momentum right now.
So maybe it would have to come in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, or, it could really be painful if it happened around graduation time, let's say.
Yeah.
Okay. As someone who has a child entering the public school system in August, I hope it's before then, okay. If it happens.
A quick comment here on the – we talked about this last week on our round table with Dylan Smith, who was going to try to attend the closed-door Republican CD2 forum, debate, or whatever at the Rocky Mountain Oyster Club. And Tim, you wrote about this today. I guess 40, 50 people, maybe 60, showed up at this event, which was the media was not invited. And even Dylan was not invited, even though he said he'd pay for a ticket. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just kind of an odd choice. I think it speaks to a greater sense of being embattled on the part of local Republicans. I think many feel that they're up against
them versus
the power
us.
Structure locally, as well as the news media. Now, David Eppenheimer, the GOP chair who organized the event, he said he just held it at the Mountain Oyster Club because he's a member and
felt it was a good venue.
Good venue. People like to go there. So it wasn't a deliberate attempt to keep out the press. But and that's what he said. I would just add, though, that I think, and as I said in the column, I think it's really important. I mean, and the candidates, at least Leah Markovitz-Peterson said to me, they'd much prefer to have the press present, because then you're speaking, instead of speaking to maybe 60 or 70 people who are there, you're speaking to, let's say 60,000 people who get to see something of you on TV or hear something about you in the paper.
Jim, what are your thoughts?
Oh, just it was a dumb move. without a doubt, to exclude the press. It just leaves us talking about how they're excluding us rather than actually covering the event. But I did get a chuckle out of the report from Blog from Arizona, where one of the candidates was very concerned about the nudie art in the men's room of the MO Club.
Oh, my goodness.
I do love the MO Club. I'm fortunate enough to get in there for a meal once in a while with my in-laws. And, I have no problem with the nudie art in the men's room.
Are the other?
I got married actually at the MO Club.
Oh, really?
When it was downtown, that was the spot where we had the wedding, and it's a great place.
They still have the the testicular themed carpeting and that kind of thing.
Indeed. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
All right.
That tradition continues.
Jim, not only are you the editor of the weekly, you're also on. You do some TV. What do you have coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Give you a chance to quick plug here.
Half hour with Zona Politics with Steve Kosachik talking about the developments in 4th Avenue, the future of 4th Avenue, as well as the Broadway corridor and Grant Road and the F-35 that they're thinking about bringing to Tucson. And the councilman is not very excited about that idea.
All right. Tim, anything you want to promote on the paper?
Oh, yeah, I'll be talking this week. I'm writing as soon as I get out of here about all the new technologies that the state government's inviting into Arizona, and whether that's good for the people of Arizona. Things like the Theranos, Uber, and now FinTech, financial technology experiments.
You'll craft that piece over at the Shanty or
something? Yeah, God. frankly, I have no idea how I'll do it.
Where it's going to be put together, right? Yeah. Okay. Jim, thank you very much. Have a great weekend and a happy Easter. All right, thanks. Tim, have a great Easter holiday.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Just hearing that bump music puts me in the weekend spirit. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico present Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Silver City makes a great weekend getaway, especially when the temperatures start to climb in Tucson, which they will be doing. It's time to head over to Silver City. It's just a three-hour drive. It's 15 degrees at least cooler over in that corner, that beautiful corner of New Mexico, southwest corner. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the full list of the great places to stay, and there are all sorts of recreation opportunities listed there in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Now the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist. He is also a highly regarded, award-winning publicist here in town, and he has his Easter Bunny suit on, which just came back, I guess, from the dry cleaners, and every year we say this, it shrinks a little bit.
Yeah, just like the leprechaun suit shrunk for St. Patrick's Day. I got to do something about that, Bill.
Is there anybody out there that doesn't love a BLT?
Yeah, and guess what? National BLT Month kicks off this weekend, celebrating one of the most simple yet sensational sandwiches. Now, there are far too many local BLTs to name here, but here's some fun trivia. While the locally owned Jimmy John's sandwich shops have a BLT on the menu, a closer look reveals that it's actually a TBL.
What?
It's a tomato on the bottom, the bacon in the middle, and the lettuce on top. Now, apparently the order of those stackables makes the flavors work best together, and you can leave it to these guys to keep it fun and fresh. I say swing into Jimmy John's this weekend to experience the ABCs of the BLT.
What about all the Buckmaster Show listeners that just wait for the latest craft beer and wine bar openings?
Yeah, you know what, and it seems like only yesterday when I announced the grand opening of Romano's Craft Beer and Wine Bar on your show, and this Sunday they'll be marking their third anniversary at a blowout bonanza at their 4th Avenue Digs from 2 to 10 p.m. The centerpiece of this celebration, Bill, will be the release of a limited production beer from Tombstone Brewing Company called Boomtown, kind of a hazy style IPA, of course, along with some special dishes from their gastropub menu and live DJ entertainment. Go ahead and say happy third to Hermano's on Sunday.
A lot of folks love to get together with the family on Easter and, of course, Passover, and many people like to dine out over the weekend.
Yeah, and you cannot go wrong at any of our local resorts, of course, for a memorable Easter brunch, but some of the buzz this year is being made at other local restaurants that deserve some attention as well, like the Lamb Benedict at the Cup Cafe or the Mint Pesto Lamb Chops at Harvest. How about an entire ham station at the Horseshoe Grill? Of course, ham and lamb are always trending on Easter Sunday, and we have some creative expressions of both among local restaurants this year.
Well, it's going to be a great Easter and Passover weekend, and if folks get a few minutes, check out Inside Tucson Business. There is a column this week.
There is, and an Arizona man who learned about the art and science of sake brewing in Japan, he brought this wisdom back home and recently launched what he calls Arizona Sake. So what's his sake secret? You can read my full story about it in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
We will look forward to it, and it's always a pleasure, and the very best to you and your family this Easter. Thank you, Matt.
Right back to you, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. Our original theme music, courtesy of Christophon. You can find out more about this German composer on our website, buckmastershow.com, where there is a link to his music. Rosemary Brandt, who's been my longtime assistant, making sure all of the podcasts are taken care of and are archived in the proper fashion. Our team here at KVOI, operations manager Ray Allen, who I am looking at the other side of the glass, big smile as he gets ready for the Easter weekend. He is a terrific producer engineer. Tom Fairbanks, who helps us out here on Friday on the other side of the glass, production manager, and we also call him kind of funny man, Jerry Cross, does a great job. Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, the front office staff, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, who own this locally owned and operated, one of the few left, Tucson Radio Group. All of us wish you a lovely Passover and Easter weekend.